Before I start, I'd like to thank God for bringing me here on time for the message. I was late. You know why? Because there was something happened around here. A lot of roads were being blocked. And my friend, Dr. Liang, was have to go round and round and round to arrive to my, to come to my place. So I thank God. At least I'm here on time. And today I'd like to speak to you on the topic of the faith of Moses, part one, especially concerning his parents. If I combine the two, it will be too long for the message. So just the first part. And it has to do with the decision that the person made. We all know that life is made up of decisions. Some decisions are simple and unimportant, while others are complex and extremely important. Many of the decisions we make are done without much considerations, while others need careful considerations and require sometimes to come to a decision. Now, the cost and the quality of our life are determined by the decisions we made rather than by our circumstances. In other words, our life, whether good or bad, depend on the decisions we make. Christian living also involves in making right decisions. Each involves choosing to do what is right and necessary in our daily living. A believer's level of spiritual maturity can be measured by the various choices he made, be it right or wrong. He can decide whether or not to take time to read the Bible and to pray. Now, to read the Bible is not a matter of having time, but taking time. And taking time requires a decision. In business or working places, we often have to choose between making more money or being honest and ethical, or getting ahead of others by using all kinds of methods, whether it be good or bad. In life, where we put our priority is also very important. In career, in family, in hobby, friends, or God. We all know that all these are important in our life. We must have all these things. But the question is, which is your priority? The Lord Jesus has set for us the priority for every believer. And we know that it is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Here he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And that is a priority that the Lord Jesus Christ set for all the believers. Now, Moses set great example for all of us. Perhaps some of you may not know who was Moses. Moses was the greatest of all men. According to one early Jewish tradition, Moses had higher rank and privilege than the ministering angels. Number two, he was the greatest prophet of Israel. Why? Because God communicated directly to him and testified regarding their relationship. You can read it from the scripture in Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. And this is what God said concerning Moses. All right, we turn to Numbers chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, and we shall read these few verses together. Ready? Go. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently not in dark speeches, and similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then ye shall not afraid to speak against my servant Moses." In the context, the people was against Moses. And God said Moses was the greatest one. You know what's the greatest one? To other prophets, God will speak to them in dreams or vision. And sometimes even in dark saying, parables, something like that. But to Moses, God speaks to him face to face. Isn't that he was the greatest prophet in Israel? That is why his face was luminous when he descended from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments. God spoke to him. He was the greatest lawgiver. Eventually, everything in the Jewish religion recalled his name. Moses said this, Moses said that, the book of Moses. Is it all about the name of Moses? It was regarded the greatest lawgiver. He was Israel's great historian. I would say he was the greatest historian. And we know that he wrote the first five books of Moses, of the Bible, Genesis to Deuteronomy. Let me ask you, who can write about the creation of this world? Can any historian write all these things? None. They can speculate. The evolution theory, they can speculate. But Moses wrote about creation, about where we come from, because God gave him the revelation. Therefore, in my opinion, he was the greatest historian in that sense. He was considered Israel's greatest saint. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 says that he was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. See? The Bible says he was very meek, and therefore he was the greatest of all the saints. He was Israel's greatest deliverer. This refers to his deliverance of Israel from Egypt and his liberating work, which was a great act of faith from the beginning to the end. Moses understood how to make godly choices and right decisions. He knew how because he believed in the true living God. He had intimate relationship with God. God says, "With him, with Moses, will I speak mouth to mouth." He knew the will of God and chose to live and act accordingly. He had set wonderful examples of how to exercise one's faith by consistently choosing God's way over the world's way. And let us look at his background. When we look at his background, the first thing we want to look is his parents. This is where he was brought up. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." This is the text, actually the text for me this morning only. The other will be next time when I preach on Moses. Now, this verse does not refer to the faith of Moses, but of his parents. Let's just look at the historical background. Both of his parents were from the tribes of Levi, and their names were Amram and Jochebed. They had two children before Moses. The first is Aaron and Miriam, two of them. The story about the circumstances surrounding the birth of Moses was recorded in Exodus chapter 2. We know that Pharaoh had commanded the Hebrew's midwife to kill all males immediately upon birth. When that plan failed, his commandment became more cruel and effective. And that is, all the newborn baby boys were to be thrown into the Nile as food for the crocodiles. And therefore, the river Nile was known as the river of death. The river of death. Jacob conceived and gave birth to a baby boy. And Moses was born under those conditions. Now, the writer of Hebrews began with the faith of Moses' parents. They disobeyed the king's commandment and hid their child for the first 3 months of his life. Now, in Exodus chapter 2, verse 2, speaks only of the mother. But obviously, the father was involved in hiding the child. Mother could not have concealed him without the father's consent. So the father was involved, although the name was not mentioned. Furthermore, the Septuagint is a Greek Bible written by the Jews in Alexandria, that is in Egypt, said this, using the plural verbs, which indicates both parents took part in the concealment. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, the writer says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by who? By his parents. Plural, by his parents. So both of them has a part in hiding Moses for 3 months. Now, we do not know where they hid him for 3 months. We do not know. But when they could no longer able to hide him, they took action to save the child. What was the action? Well, they put him into the basket made of papyrus, committed him to the river of death, and sent his sister to watch for the outcome. The writer of Hebrews says that their action was an act of faith. And when we read the Exodus story and imagine their action, we conclude that it was one of pure love and affections for the baby. I have no doubt about that. It was the love of the parents that hid the child. I have no doubt about that. But as I studied through, I noticed something more beyond the love of the parents. These two persons believe in God, in the God of Abraham. They believe somehow God would overrule what Pharaoh had decreed, and the baby would be well. And they believe in the words that was recorded in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. This is a very important word. I quote according to the context here. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." This was a very simple and pure act of faith. Believe in God and God will reward him. That is the point. But I will explain more detail and apply into his life later on. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23 describes two areas of their faith. Number one, they saw Moses was a proper child. That was in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23. The word proper can be translated as beautiful, according to ESB. That is, Moses' appearance and character were beautiful. He was not an ordinary child. He was something special. And when a parent look at it, you know, this is a special child. Not just a beautiful child. Every baby comes up from the womb is beautiful, right? To the parents, very beautiful. Even to us, it's not beautiful. To the parents, beautiful. And here, the Bible says, it's a proper child. It's a beautiful child. And he was no ordinary child. How do we know? We must go further and find out what are the words the people use concerning this baby. Now, in Exodus chapter 2, verse 2 says he was a goodly child. All right. Then in Acts chapter 7, verse 20 says he was exceedingly fair. ESV translated as beautiful in God's sight. All right, different translation. Beautiful in God's sight, something extra. Then in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, I said already, he was a proper child. He was a beautiful child. Now, Leon Morris commented this. He said, "The beauty of the child impressed the parents that they believed that God had something for him to do. Something extraordinary. And therefore, they did something here." That's why they hit the child. Secondly, they were not afraid of the king's commandments. It was their faith in God that guided him to oppose the king's directive and did whatever they could, regardless of the consequences, to protect and to save the child. Therefore, they made a waterproof basket out of the reeds, put the child in the basket, placed in the basket among the reeds of the river, and instructed Miriam to watch for the outcome. And they leave their best to the Lord. They have done their best, so they leave everything to God and ask God to help. And here comes Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Chapter 11 verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's just apply this teaching, the teaching of this verse, into the lives of Moses' parents. All right, then from there we can see. First of all, the text says, it is impossible to please God if we do not have faith in him. The type of faith that God honors must have two vital characteristics. What are the two vital characteristics? First of all, his belief must go beyond the facts of the existence of God. There are many people believe that God exists. You tell them, "Do you believe in God?" "Oh yes, I believe God exists. God is in heaven." and so forth. That is not what the book says here. That's not enough. That's not enough. Even if you believe that Jesus exists, it's still not enough. You see? His belief must go beyond that fact. He must also affirm that God is all that he claimed to be. That's very important. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, I quote Hebrews 11 again. Verse 3, what did Hebrews 11, verse 3 says? Hebrews 11, verse 3 says that God is the creator of the universe and that he created all things by the power of his words. Right or not? That's what Hebrews 11 says. Not just believe there's a God. We must know who he is and believe everything that he says. That's what it says here. So the person must believe that God is the creator and he's the almighty God. He can do all things. And he must also believe that he is not only our creator, he is our sustainer. Our sustainer. That is, he controls everything. He's interested in our affairs. He cares for us. Whatever he promised, he will fulfill. And we can trust him. This is the kind of God the person must believe. Not just God is up there, he's almighty. He must apply to him. Himself must believe all these things. The second thing is that the person who comes to God must also believe that he is a giving God. He's a giving God. He said that a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right, that's very important. Excuse me. The act of seeking here involves request. To us is prayer. You pray. And patiently endurance which originated with a genuine faith. You believe that God will answer your prayer. And then you continue to pray. In this regard, we pray for a pastor. Don't stop. Keep praying. You see, that is called faith. You see? And that is what is talking here. A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You don't stop. You diligently keep seeking him. Keep requesting. Faith asks. Faith will wait for answer. And that is pray and wait patiently for his answer. How did God reward their faith? Now, we must also know that God is not only the creator, the sustainer, he's the controller, he's uphold all things. According to Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, that is, every event is ordered by God. The events surrounding the life of Moses was ordained by God. And so Pharaoh's daughter came to the river to wash herself. It's ordained by God at the right timing, at the right time. The maid found the baby was also ordained by God. Thank you very much, Andrew. The cry of the baby, which touched the hearts of Pharaoh's daughter, was also ordained by God. Jochebed was employed to nurse the baby, was also ordained by God. And the adoption of the baby by Pharaoh's daughter was also ordained by God. So you see, my friend, God had a hand in all these things. In all these things. All the timing were perfect. And the parents believe all these things. God would do something. And we know that God also used Jochebed to nurture Moses. She taught him the great truth of God. And his origin, where he came from. He told him that the people had been praying to God to deliver them. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 10, God told Moses about it. They've been praying for a long, long time, you know, not just 1 month, 2 months, not just 1 year, 2 years, a long, long time. And it took more than 40 years. Then God sent someone to deliver them. 80 years. 40, 80, about 80 years. Long time, long time. God has his timing. But meanwhile, God was preparing someone to do the work. And so we see Amram and Jochebed unconsciously were cooperating with God to carry out his plan to deliver Israel out of Egypt. In the end, Moses became a great man of faith. If you want to know how great Moses was, then we must read Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 10 to 12. All right? Deuteronomy 34, verses 10 to 12. You turn to it, we read together, ready, go. And there arose not a prophet. So you see, this is a commentary from God. He was the greatest man of faith. And there was the baby Jochebed and Amram safe through their faith in God. God had a duty for them, and they have performed their duty very well, not only save the child, but nurture the child to be a person to be used by God in future. That was their duty. God assigned to them. How about us? God has given each one of us a duty to carry out his plan. If you are a Christian, and the first duty that all of us must do was to send the gospel light, was to tell people about Christ. That's the first thing that we must do. We all know very well. Our events are coming up, Christmas coming up. We are going to invite people here and there. This is a time for you to do your work. Secondly, our duty is not just tell people about Christ. We must live like Christ. It's no point talking about Christ and our behavior doesn't look like Christ. Isn't that? It must go hand in hand. When people look at you, they know that you are a Christian. When you speak, they know that you are a Christian. And that is our duty. Jesus said, let your light be so shine before men. Whatever you do, it's also our duty. You must glorify God. That is our duty. The question today is this, are you doing it faithfully for him, for God, not for anyone else, for God? And that is what we can learn from Moses' parents. God gave him the duty, gave them the duty, and they performed it and fulfilled it. And was recorded in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith. And I pray that may God help each one of us as we live together to shine for the Lord, and may the Lord use us to be an effective witness for him. You do your best, and God will do the rest. We cannot convert people. Conversion comes from God. But we can pray. Patiently pray for that person. Patiently do your work. that the Lord had commanded to you. And that's what God required of you. He has his time. The people in Egypt are praying for God's deliverance. God took many years. And God has his reason why it is so. And so, dear friends, as I conclude this message, may the Lord use us for his glory. So let us end with the hymn 702, Send the Light.